takes you beyond legal. This podcast is for general guidelines only, and the contents do not constitute as legal advice and should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of Buddhijaya On Air. My name is Kevin, and I'll be your host for today's episode. In this episode, we from Buddhijaya International Lawyers would like to discuss a very interesting topic from the sector of financial technology. For today's topic, we have one of Bill's own lawyers. We have Rizka. Hello, Rizka.
Hi, Kevin.
It's a pleasure to finally have you on the podcast. So first off, I think we should start with introductions. Rizka, you work at Bill. Practice group do you specifically work at?
Okay, so practice of mergers and acquisition, and also in the general corporate area. But that also include practice in the intellectual property and from ICT as well.
Okay, so you do quite a bit, quite a broad range of topics. But today this is a sort of fun overlap because we were talking about finance sector and also the technology, right?
Yes.
So before we get started into the topic, which is peer-to-peer lending in the Indonesian legal system, could you maybe tell us a little bit about what is actually peer-to-peer lending and how does that business work?
Okay, so peer-to-peer lending, or P2P, is a financial service that basically matches people who want to lend their money, the lenders, and people who want to borrow them. And it is conducted through an online platform to conduct that loan agreement. So to tell a little bit of history about the P2P, the first P2P lending was originated from the UK in 2005, whereas I believe in Indonesia itself, it was first existed in 2016. It was the same year as the enactment of the first regulation that governs it, which is the Financial Authority Services, or OJK regulation number 77 of 2016. And so according to data from OJK, as per 25 August this year, there are 116 registered and licensed P2P lending providers in Indonesia. And so the business of it, so P2P lending allows everyone to actually, you know, like provide loans or apply for loans from one another for various purposes. Interestingly, P2P lending providers are usually different from one another in a sense that some providers facilitate consumptive loans and some even for productive loans only. Productive loans meaning that it is an income generated loans. And so typically the borrowers are like coming from the micro, small and medium enterprises who use the loans for their capital, the working capital, and some other providers that facilitates both type of loans. To carry out the lending transactions, the lenders and borrowers, they have to firstly register themselves to the P2P lending provider before they can grant a loan or receive a loan. So P2P is like now trending more than ever because it is known for its easy and fast access. And because of it, some may even consider that P2P lending as a preferable mechanism compared to the conventional loans such as bank loans, which we will address later on, Kevin.
I do want to return back to that point. Now, effectively, if I'm understanding correctly, we have lenders and borrowers of the parties in the sort of scheme of P2P lending who will conduct a loan agreement over an online platform, right? Now, could you tell me a little bit more about the parties involved? Could you, for example, as an individual, say me or you, in a P2P lending scheme, could we participate as a lender, or does it have to be an entity, for example?
Okay, so your question's about the parties involved in the scheme,
exactly,
right? In general, the parties involved are the lender, the borrower, and the provider of the platform. To become a lender in a P2P lending, the parties could come from Indonesia or foreign, and can be in different forms, such as individuals, legal entity, business entity, or even an international organization. Meanwhile, to become a borrower, our regulation sets out that only an Indonesian citizen or Indonesian legal entity that are eligible. Okay, so So to answer your question whether we or me as an individual could become a lender in P2P lending or borrower, the answer is yes. On the other hand, to become a P2P lending provider, or to shorten it, we're just going to call it the provider, they shall be in the form of a limited liability company or cooperative. And for the paid up capital for a limited liability company, or the equity if it's in the cooperative form, to be at least 1 billion rupiah at the time of the registration, and it shall be increased to be at least 2.5 billion upon the license application to OJK. And if the provider is in the form of a limited liability company, it shall be noted that the maximum foreign ownership is 85%, and the requirement for the investment value in connection to it shall also be observed by the provider.
Interesting. Okay. So essentially, we have three parties. We have the lender lending the money. We have the borrower who's borrowing the money. And then we have the provider who's actually facilitating a sort of platform for them to actually conduct this, right?
Yes.
Now, you also mentioned when we were covering regarding the sort of amount of capital or equity that's necessary, that you differentiated between sort of registered and licensed.
Yes.
Could you elaborate a little bit more about that? And is there other licenses that they have to obtain?
Okay, all right. So you noticed that. It's good. So the provider shall firstly submit registration application to the OJK before carrying out their operational activities. And then within a year after being registered, they shall apply for the license. Otherwise, the registration certificate that is issued before will be cancelled and the provider will be unable to resubmit the registration application again. As for your question about is there any other licenses, another important thing is, as an entity that engages in financial transaction services, the provider is regarded as an electronic system operator in the private sector, or in bahasa is penyelenggara sistem elektronik di lingkup privat. And so they have to submit a registration to the Minister of Communication and Information, in which then the minister will then issue a registration certificate for it.
I see. Aside from that, are there any other obligations that the provider needs to fulfill?
Yes, there are several obligations which shall be observed by the provider or the parties there too. So the first is that the provider is required to submit a mandatory report to OJK, and also in terms of a plan of change of ownership in the provider, they shall obtain an approval prior to that transaction. And also OJK limits the maximum loan granted to each borrower to be at 2 billion rupiah. And another noteworthy thing is that the lending must be conducted through an escrow and virtual account, and that is to avoid the provider collecting fund in its own account. And lastly, the provider should also provide access to information to the lender or the provider, but that excludes the identity of the counterpart, such as or the borrower or the lender.
I see. Okay, thank you for your explanation about the obligations of the party of the P2P lending provider. Now, in terms of the sort of relationship between the parties themselves, is there a particular legal basis for this sort of legal relationship between the provider, the lender, and the borrower?
Okay, so you mean the legal construction behind it, right? So for a P2P lending to work, there are two agreements that underlie it. The first is the agreement between the provider and the lender, and the second agreement is between the lender and the borrower. Okay, so the first one, between the provider and the lender, it is basically an agreement to grant the provider a power of attorney to conduct necessary legal actions in relation to the transaction on behalf of the lender. And that includes the act of drafting, signing the loan agreement, claiming the insurance for it if relevant, and all the way to debt collecting and receiving the repayment of it. As for the second agreement between the lender and borrower, that's basically a loan agreement, which was regulated in the article of 1754 of the Indonesian Civil Code. Well, in this regards, both agreements will be made electronically by the parties.
Interesting. Okay. So we effectively have two agreements, and one agreement bridges the provider and the lender, and the other one is between the lender and the provider, right?
Right.
Okay. So you also mentioned at the very beginning of our discussion, and I did promise we'd get back to this, is that there's a sort of preference between P2P lending and sort of conventional lending with banks, right? What are the key differences between both forms of loans?
Yes. They're different in several ways. For example, the source of funds. Okay, so in a P2P lending, the fund comes from the lenders themselves. While in a bank loan, the funds are actually the customer's money, which has been collected by the bank. And that is the first. The second thing is the maximum loan granted. In a P2P lending, as I've mentioned earlier before, that the maximum loan for each borrower is $2
billion. Yes.
As for bank loans, it depends on the calculation of their own maximum credit ceiling. Okay. And another interesting thing regarding an interest, and this one is, you know, kind of like mind-blowing, I guess. So in general, the interest in bank loans range from 18 to 20% per annum, whereas in the P2P lending, the range of the interest, the range is a lot wider. Although a lot of providers set the interest similar to the bank, like I said, 18 to 20%. But the Association of Indonesian FinTech, that is an official association appointed by OJK, in its code of conduct, they sets out that the maximum interest in a P2P lending is 0.8% per day, which if converted to annually would be the same as 292%.
What other differences goes
besides
into
besides
preference?
The interest, besides that mind-blowing fact, is that P2P lending typically has shorter period in terms of repayment compared to bank loans. And also the period for the process of verification and approval of loan is also shorter, while bank loans can take up to 3 months from the verification stage to the approval. And so that's why I say some people prefer that compared to the conventional loans. And on top of that, some P2P lending also do not require security to be presented in order to apply for a loan, while it is common that for a bank to ask for one.
Interesting. You know? Okay. So, yeah, as a borrower, you would have different options, right? If you are comfortable with the sort of, frankly, exorbitant annual interest rate, you can go for P2P lending. Or if you're, for example, fine with taking a while between verification stage and the actual approval of the loan, you can go for bank loans. It's sort of a preference, right?
Yeah, so you can just adjust it based on your own preference and needs and the facilities you have.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and sharing your insight on this matter. It's been an absolute pleasure having
my
you on
pleasure
this podcast.
My pleasure too, Kevin.
We would also like to thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. And if you have any questions in relation to the subject or any sort of legal issue, really, you can reach us at cr@budijaya.law. That's all for now, and we'll see you on the next episode of Budijaya On Air.
This has been Budijaya On Air. Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss an episode by clicking the follow button, and make sure you subscribe to our website www.budijaya.law for more contents like this.